Greetings, brothers and sisters, saints and friends. Welcome to another episode of Esther 414, Hadassah Speaks. I am your host, Hadassah, coming to the kingdom for such a time as this. The opening song is Ask Me Why by Michael Bethany. Thank you once again for tuning in to another episode. And as always, I hope this episode is finding you happy, healthy, and whole, and excited about being a child of the Most High. I know that I am excited about being a child of the King. I'm grateful for my life, my health, and my strength. I am grateful that I am awake in my right mind and that I do have the activities of my limbs. I'm grateful to know the Lord. I am grateful that I'm walking in the light and not in darkness. And I praise God that this weekend, yesterday, my firstborn, my one and only son, graduated from college. He made it through. He is one of those children that had to deal with COVID in the first and second year of college, where they had to work online, be shut up in their rooms. But he stuck it out. When he felt like quitting, he found strength within and strength through prayer, and he persevered, and through that perseverance and determination, he walked across that stage yesterday. So I am a proud mama for sure. But on the way back home, I was listening to another podcast, and I listened to Whitey the Bynum going off, and I mean going off, about women, the women of God, and the inappropriate dress of the women of God, how women of God are now beginning to present themselves on praise teams and from the pulpit and while teaching and preaching. And so I listened to it, and it struck me because I also share some of her feelings concerning that, concerning the way that we as the people of God have begun to present ourselves to God in His house. And I feel like the standard of holiness has been lowered, just as she believes. And we're old school. You know, we got a little age on us and a little age in the kingdom. So, you know, we got a little maturity level there. We're not babes, and we've been around a long time and grew up in the church. And remember when, you know, you couldn't go to church without stockings on your legs. You couldn't reveal so much of your skin. It was inappropriate. And so it's hard for us as seasoned or aged women of God to watch as seasoned and aged women of God like us are wearing bodycon dresses and low-cut outfits and outfits that are getting shorter and shorter. And like Sister Juanita was saying, you know, you have some expectations that the babes in Christ, you know, haven't reached that level of conviction yet. You know, they're just coming in and they're learning, and their minds are just being renewed. But the older women who have all of a sudden have just, you know, chucked everything that they learned and what was the norm for preaching and for teaching and even for just moving around. You know, we just lost, you know, all decorum when it comes to going into the house of God. So I absolutely feel her on that. And I thought I would address this today from the scriptures. And she did address it from the scriptures. But for my own listeners, and just in case you have some babes in Christ who really don't understand what is appropriate for the house of God. And we always hear that, you know, come as you are. You know, in the Bible says come as you are. And I always like to say, yes, come as you are, but you got to be changed. You don't come as you are and then stay that way. Come in whatever state that you're in, whatever state that you are in before you meet the Lord. Just come in that state. But nowhere in the scripture does it say to remain in that place. So we need to stop saying that and begin to require that people come up higher in Christ, because He just deserves so much more from us. He's a King, and He deserves so much more from us. So first of all, I would just want to remind us of Romans, or introduce Romans to those who might not be familiar with what God's requirement is of his women, of his daughters. You know, if you're a father, and even as a mother, I have an expectation of the way that my children, I have a certain expectation of how my girls will present themselves. And as they were growing up, I was teaching them about how to present themselves. Now, they grow up, you teach them, and they grow up, they choose to walk whatever path they want to walk. And sometimes there's a choice of dress doesn't line up with the teachings. But nevertheless, it is our duty and our responsibility to teach our young women what is appropriate and what is inappropriate. And now, in this day and age, we're living in an anything goes, do what you will. And that's the, Satan is believing that do what thy wilt. But we want to do what the Lord says to do in the scripture. We want to follow his commandments. We don't want to be of the mindset of Satan, which is do what thy wilt. No, we're not going to do what we will. We're going to do what God wills or desires. That's where our head and heart should be. So once again, let me go to Romans real quick. I'm trying to scroll through it to get there so that we can look at it. And this is a familiar scripture for those that have been in church for any length of time. You probably have heard this one. But if not, if this is your first time, then we're going to discuss it a little bit. But it's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. In verse 1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm begging you, brothers, that you will present your bodies instead of going out there and killing an animal and offering that as a sacrifice to God. I want you to be the sacrifice. You are the sacrifice to God, but you are a living sacrifice, one that is holy, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So I'm not asking you to do anything that's above and beyond, that's out of the way. I want you to present your body holy, because that is what is acceptable to God, is to present yourself as holy. And when we think about the word holy, holy means different, set apart, different, uncommon, set apart. Verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed. Don't conform to the things that you see around you, but be transformed. Be changed. So yeah, come in as you are. Come in as you are, but be transformed. So there is an expectation that change is going to take place. And the only way that that change is going to take place is through the renewing of your mind. Your mind has to be renewed. See, when you come into the kingdom, you come in with your old mind. You come in with your old way of living, an old way of living, an old way of doing things. So in order for me to begin to line up with the kingdom, I've got to renew my mind. And how do I renew my mind? Through the Word of God. Through the instructions that are in the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about how I should present myself as a woman of God? Does the Word of God deal with women and how they ought to be? How the women of God ought to be? What's appropriate for the women of God? Yes, it does. So if I don't know how I ought to be, I do know this, that I have to be different from the world. So if all the women in the world are out here wearing bodycon dresses, because that bodycon dress is what really got up on the Sister Juanita Bottoms skin, that all the women, so many church women, and they're preaching and teaching and on the praise team wearing form-fitting bodycon dresses. She talked about no bras. I mean, this is mind-blowing. skirts that's showing all your thighs and so form fit that you can see thongs. This is this what she's talking about. Now, I have not seen, I've seen bodycon dresses, but I haven't seen some of the other stuff. But she's outdone. She's disgusted by it and felt a need to address it, and she was very raw with it. But sometimes we do that from a place of ignorance. We don't know what we ought to be wearing, right? So when I came into the church, I was young. I was in my 20s. And when you're in your 20s, you dress in whatever's trending. So if bodycon dresses was trending back then, I had a bodycon dress. So if really, really tight jeans was trending back then, I had really, really tight jeans. If torn jeans was trending, so we tend to, as young people, to go with the times, to go with the trend. See, we are going with the world. We're conforming to the world. Instead of looking different, set apart, instead of being uncommon, we're common. We're just like everybody else. But until your mind becomes renewed. So in my early 20s, when I came into the church, that's how I dressed. Every bump, every curve showing. But as my mind began to be renewed and the Holy Spirit began to deal with me, then I began to change my dress. My stuff got looser, stuff got longer, stuff got a little bit more modest. Because my mind was being renewed through the scriptures and the Holy Spirit, I was able to hear the Holy Spirit begin to speak to me in my spirit when I tried on an outfit in Hex. Buy me a dress for Sunday, lovely dress, stood in that mirror, looked at myself, and the Holy Spirit convicted me right there. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I should not be wearing this something this tight. So I bought a longer dress, and from then on, that's what I began to wear to church. But it wasn't coming from the pulpit. I didn't hear nobody in the pulpit talking about how I dress. I didn't hear that. Now, I heard some women talking about it. You know, some of the older women, they weren't saying it to me. Instead of coming to me and having that conversation, it was a lot of offhanded comments. But it wasn't coming from the pulpit where I believe that it ought to come. And it should come from the aged women, sitting the younger women aside, like the Bible tells us, and have a conversation with them. So, but if you are an evangelist, you are a preacher, you are a teacher, you are a praise team leader, ushers, all these things, people that are serving in the church, women of God, we do not need to be showing every bump and curve. If the Holy Spirit is residing in you, there should be some conviction. And we should, all our outfits, whatever the latest trend is, the lashes that are biggest, I don't know, like little butterflies on our eyes, all of these things that are happening in the world, we should not be conforming to those things. Because we're different. We're holy. We're different. We're uncommon. We're set apart. There's a difference between you, woman of God, and an unbeliever that's in the world. I should be able to tell the difference of you and that person. I should not be looking at a church full of women who are showing every bump and curve, who got eyelashes for days. It's too much. It's too much. And we're going to go into the scripture and see what the scripture says. But I do want to finish up verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's a will of God concerning whether we are being transformed or conformed. He has a desire. He has a will for us and a will for our lives, a perfect will. And that perfect will is that we be transformed to be more like Christ, transformed into the image of his Son by the renewing of our mind. And once again, if you are not in the scriptures, there will be no renewing of your mind, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So the renewal of your mind I need to know what God wants from me. I need to know what His perfect will is. And how do I know what His perfect will is for me concerning every area of my life? What is His will for my attire? What is His will for my husband? The treatment of my spouse? What is His will for the treatment of my children? What is His will for the treatment of my fellow man? What is His will for my finances? The good and perfect will of God, it is in the scripture. So I need to begin to read His scripture, meditate on the scripture, and allow my mind to be renewed. And as my mind is being renewed, I'm changing. I'm changing my walk. I'm changing my talk. I'm changing my behavior. I'm changing the way I treat this one. I'm changing the way I treat that one. I'm changing the way that I handle my finances because I've read it in the Word of God. It's in there. So I want to go to the scripture that's in there that talks about the way that we as women of God ought to carry ourselves. So let's first go to, the first scripture I want to go to is 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 9, I'm trying to get there quickly. And it reads, in like manner, let me do verse 8. I will therefore that men, this is Paul talking, I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Verse 9, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. Verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So Paul says, my desire or my preference is that women adorn themselves in modest clothing. In modest clothing and with a shamefacedness, not with pride, not with arrogance. Not with all this extravagant and excessive braided hair or gold or pearls or really, really expensive clothing. But I want you to dress in a way that is appropriate and becoming of women who profess godliness. Now, I know that if you're listening to this and you're a woman of God, then you're professing godliness. So that's an expectation that women who profess godliness are going to look different from women who don't profess godliness. If you don't profess godliness, then you might be out here in a bodycon dress. You might be out here in a halter top. You might be out here with a dress so short that we can see everything. But if you are a woman of God, a daughter of God, you're professing godliness, then there's an expectation that you are going to be in modest apparel. Well, I don't know what modest means. Well, what do you mean by modest? Well, according to the King James Dictionary, modest means not loose or lewd. It means moderate, not excessive or extreme, not extravagant, not bold or forward, but properly restrained by a sense of propriety. Properly restrained. Now, I might want to get out here and wear something that shows every bump and curve. Maybe I got a wonderful shape and I want the world to see it. But that's pride. That's vanity. There's no humility in that. You walk around trying to show every bump and curve. Well, that's not properly restrained. That's no sense of propriety there. See, you have to have this sense of what's appropriate. A sense of what's inappropriate. And women who are dressing modestly, they have that sense. Maybe I need to cover my legs. I need to cover my cleavage. I don't need to be showing every bump and curve. I am aware that this is inappropriate, that this is not appropriate or becoming for a woman that's professing godliness. My eyelashes as long as my fingers. drawing all this attention to my eyes. And I'm tatted up over here and tatted up over there. All of these things are not becoming for women that are professing godliness. And you might say, well, that's your opinion. Well, I'm just looking at the Word of God. I'm just looking at what the Word of God says. He told Paul said that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with all this costly stuff, all the gold or the pearls, and we just laid out with all this jewelry and drawing all this attention to ourselves, all these bracelets and things we're walking around with, and people are looking at us, and all the attention. I'm leading the praise team, or I'm trying to preach or teach from the pulpit, and I'm laid out and adorned this way. It's going to take all the attention off of God and what you're trying to teach and put the attention on you. That's not modest. It's bold. It's loud. That's not appropriate for women who profess godliness. It's not holy. It's not different. You're not set apart. So you have to tone your dress down some, sister, daughter. Especially if you're in a ministering position. If you've been called to the church to preach, to teach, you're ushering, you're doing any of those things, you need to tone it down and be modest. And be modest. Now, I want to also go to Titus. I want to go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, Paul steadily giving instructions on what ought to be taught in the churches. What should be taught? Because once again, if you don't know, you don't know. And so somebody has to teach it. But what we're finding is that people are not teaching it. Let's go ahead and look at Titus chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Okay, so we want to teach. These are the teachings that we ought to teach. "That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness." Now, this is talking about the aged women, because we know that the seasoned women, some of them are walking around dressed up like young girls, call themselves dressing just like the young girls are dressing out here. And that is not becoming for women who got some age on them and women who call themselves Christian. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness." Behavior that's appropriate for somebody that's calling themselves holy. "Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." Now, if I'm 55 years old and I'm out here dressed up in these type outfits, they ain't teaching these kids nothing good. I'm being a poor example. A poor example of what a godly woman ought to look like. He dealing specifically right here with old folks, old women, who out here trying to look just like the young people. Dresses too short, too tight, eyelashes hanging off your eyes, tatted up, tipping around and a 3-inch heel. So this is not behavior, and loud, obnoxious, and boisterous. This is things that's not becoming of women who profess godliness. It's not a becoming for holiness. Verse 4, "that they may teach the young women." If we as the older, the seasons, are doing what we're supposed to do, then we ought to be able to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. To be discreet. Discreet means having or showing discernment or good judgment in conduct. Having or showing discernment or good judgment in conduct. Capable of preserving prudent silence. Modest, unobtrusive, unnoticeable. Modest, unobtrusive, unnoticeable. This is what we ought to be teaching the young girls, the young women. You need to be discreet. Now, with my girls, one of them had a very loud laugh. And I said, you got to stop that laugh. Because that right there is nothing cute about that. It's too loud, too noisy. Women should not be laughing that way. You should not be drawing that type of attention yourself. You're too loud. And all you got to do is look around. Go to any restaurant, or fast food, any store where there are young girls. And you're going to hear profanity. They're going to be loud, want to be heard, want to be seen. That's not becoming for holy women. And we need to teach our young girls that. We need to teach our daughters that. We need to teach our granddaughters. Being loud is not cute. You need to be discreet. You need to also be chaste. That's pure, innocent of unlawful sexual intercourse. So we need to be tell them to be chaste, teach them to be discreet. These are things that we need to teach them, and this is ways we also need to walk ourselves. But by the time we're aged, you know, in the Bible days, they had already had husbands. But today, a lot of the aged women don't have husbands. They're single. So this would apply for you as well. That you need to be discreet, be chaste. But if you are married, then verse 5, keepers at home, good, obedient to your own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So I don't know how it ought to be. I'm not sure where here it is in the scripture. Here it is in the scripture. Let me, and I'm gonna, last one I'm going to go to is 1 Peter chapter 3:3-4. Now Peter is telling us how the woman ought to act. How ought the woman to act? Let's keep on going. Because this is how we renew our mind, through the word of God. This is something that he has addressed in the scripture. So since it's being addressed in the scripture, then we don't have to guess about it. We don't have to guess about what God wants from us. So 1 Peter, and it says, I'll start at verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Your husband might not be in the word, may not be saved, but you act the way you're supposed to act, then he might be won by that behavior. Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Verse 3, whose adorning, this is the wives, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. So don't worry so much about the outward adorning. Not the way you're adorning yourself on the outside, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. See, don't worry so much about being extravagant and flashy in your clothes, because that ain't worth nothing. What the value is, where the value lies, is in a quiet and meek spirit. A meek and quiet spirit is the way that we ought to adorn ourselves as women of God. And to God, that is valuable. And not all this fancy hairdos, eyelashes, all this other stuff that's flashy and bold. That ain't what is interesting God. What he wants to see in his daughters is a meek and quiet spirit. So yes, there is an appropriate way, in a way that is becoming for women professing God. There's a way for us to present ourselves. Women who call themselves holy, who call themselves Christian, there's a way that we ought to present ourselves. And that is holy, that is discreet, that is chaste, that is in subjection to our husbands, and with a meek and quiet spirit, shamefacedness, sobriety, not arrogance, not pride, not boldness, bold as in arrogant or proud. But we ought to be striving to reach a place where we have a quiet and meek spirit, where God puts a great price. We need to be striving for the thing that God puts a great price on, and let go of the outward adorning. Get the focus off of that. And when we get up on Sunday morning, not just Sunday morning, but especially on Sunday morning, if we have to lead in worship, if we have to sing in the choir, we have to usher, we have to preach, we have to teach, let's make sure that we are dressed in something that's becoming for women who profess godliness. Think about what you're putting on and how you are presenting yourself before your Father, before the King, and before the congregation. And that's all I have for you. Till next time, grace and peace.